The companion scripture for the gospel lesson today comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. This is a reading from Romans chapter 6, the first 11 verses. Listen this day for God's word. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Christ in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. Whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. And we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Loving God, Spirit of wisdom, descend once more upon us by your grace and by your power, that as we open ourselves to you and remind ourselves of your promises and your story, that those very words might implant themselves on us, reincarnate themselves through us, and be proclaimed to the world by us. So dwell with us now and always, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I recently overheard a conversation between Philoxenos and Anne Lamott. This was quite an extraordinary thing, given that Philoxenos lived in Syria in the 6th century AD, and Anne Lamott lives in Southern California in the 21st century AD. Philoxenos wrote in various forms and treatises about the nature of God, the creator of all life. And Anne Lamott has written in various forms and essays about the character of God, the soother of our troubled souls. Philoxenos was a monk, a leader of the early church, who stressed that Jesus Christ was the fully divine Son of God. Anne Lamott is a reformed alcoholic, a novelist, and of late a Presbyterian apologist and humorist, who writes columns and routinely does radio interviews in which she is commonly questioned about her beliefs in Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God. A while ago, Anne commented that she gets a lot of crank phone calls. Crank calls, half of whom think that Jesus was just a nice guy and a New Agey kind of man, while the other half insists that she must not be a real Christian and that she's going to rot in hell for all eternity. And so she says, well, I thank all my cranky callers for sharing with me. And then I say, you know the difference between God and me? Or excuse me, you know the difference between you and God? God never thinks he's you. Before I hang up and get on with celebrating. Philoxenos and Annie Lamott were talking about baptism, the sacrament of the church that involves water, preferably water that's not too cold and not too hot, and in Presbyterian circles, not too much. Next to the air we breathe, water is one of the most important substances in our life. The earth contains more water than any other thing. 3/4 of the earth is covered in it. Our body is made up primarily of water. Water serves as our first cradle, suspending and surrounding us before our very birth. Yet water is associated both with wombs and with tombs, having the power to both nurture and to destroy life. Long ago, Noah waterproofed the planks on his ark as the floods rose over the face of the earth, and his floating menagerie used the ark to survive the watery deluge. Later, Moses raised his arms and brought the Israelites out of Egypt through the parted waters of the Red Sea. Before then, he lowered his staff in his arms and drowned the pursuing Egyptian army in a tumult of deadly waves. Baptism is a sacrament of initiation. It marks the time of entry, of welcome, of restoration, and new beginnings. The preacher Will Willimon has commented that when you join Rotary or Kiwanis, they give you a handshake and a lapel pin. When you join the church, they half drown you in water, which makes for quite an interesting contrast. Baptism is invariably a public event. And when it's done in church, it's an act that ritualizes transformation. Because in that act, we proclaim to all the world and to whoever might hear us that we profess faith in the one named Christ. That for us, the old is gone. The new has come by grace as we wade into the baptism waters. But how are we to talk about this transformation? How do we tell our faith stories of newness of life without it becoming formulaic? And in becoming formulaic, no longer speaking to each of our unique life experiences and unique faith journeys. Anne Lamott seldom bothered by such details. She's quite happy to talk straightforwardly about her own journey of faith and her own conversion. As she's put it, "Look, I got sober against all the odds, and then I started hanging out with people who were trying to get sober too. And over time, I got to watch a number of the walking dead come back to life as I came back to life. And so I believe in the basic Christian message that life happens, death happens, and then new life happens. I believe in resurrection. So sue me or read someone else's material." But Philoxenos insisted that we need some sort of metaphor to help capture this core reality that undergirds and supports and unifies all of our different faith stories. So long ago, Philoxenos talked about how unborn children, while they're still in the womb, are already perfect, fully constituted, having all their senses, all their limbs. But they cannot make use of their senses or their limbs in the womb because they cannot stretch, they cannot strengthen them, they cannot develop them completely. And just as all things have a season, then there must be a season for us to be unborn, to exist in the comfort of the social womb. There's a time to be sustained by the warmth and the all-encompassing reality of life's shared myths and stories. And those myths and stories and realities may be cramped quarters at time. They may provide us no chance to fully strengthen and use our skills or a distant horizon to strive for, but it's a generally safe place to be. A place that's focused mostly on us and our immediate needs. But he says then there must also be a season and a time for us to be born, to spiritually emerge into a new identity, liberated from the suffocating womb of myth and prejudice and an intense self-focus. By God's grace, the old way of life dies, and we emerge from our enslavement to self in order to truly now see the world and consider and serve others. We move beyond a life of just flesh into a new life of flesh and spirit. And in that movement, we confront our deepest fears about death. And then we burst through them as if delivered down a narrow birth canal into the bright light and the expansive vision that insists that death is not the defining reality of life. And baptism is that moment for us when we affirm that death's power has been broken. Now, Anne Lamott likes Philoxenos' images, but for her, the biggest problem is that most of us don't consciously remember being born. We don't remember what it is like to make that journey. Intellectually, we can see parallels between our physical birth and our spiritual rebirth. But the fleshly body that defines us, and particularly defined us in the womb, remains our dominant focus long after we emerge, blinking and mewing into the delivery room lights. And so too often what ends up happening is that we're happy to be baptized. We're happy to walk through the parted waves of the Red Sea only so long as we can take all of our luggage with us. We're happy to be washed by baptism waters, but don't ask us to wear different clothes. Don't ask us to lead different lives once we've dried ourselves off. Or as Anne Lamott put it, we want the old self to be made new. I think we should get our true, authentic self healed and get a cool car. I think we should get to have an awareness of the eternity and have buns of steel. Lamott reminds us constantly that Jesus didn't come to patch up our old, raggedy lives, but rather to give us new life. She says, look, you can't get the good stuff without killing off the old stuff. And so for her, another image for baptism that works and it is a little more accessible is to think of baptism as that moment when you've been swimming underwater and you've swum so long that all the air in your lungs is gone. And then you pop your head out of the waters and you break the surface and you fill your lungs once more with that wonderful life-giving air. Swimmers have mentioned to me that it's possible to dive down so deep that you can't see well, and then you become disoriented, and you can't tell which is up and which is down. And in those moments, you begin to panic, and you convince yourself that maybe you're drowning, and you'll never get back to the surface alive. And your lungs ache, and they pound, and your heart begins to race. But if you can calm yourself enough, the air in your body and lungs will slowly rise you up. And just when you're sure that you've exhausted the last ounce of oxygen in your body, you break the water's surface, and splashing, gulping, you feel the rush of air as it pours back into you, and you remember what it means to be fully alive. Like Philoxenos' unborn children, we can survive a long time swimming in dark waters. We can hold our breath and try to get by on our own resources. Or worse, we can spend our lives swimming around in waters of destructive behavior, in waters of addiction and fear and depression. Far too many lives are wasted swimming below the surface, groping in the darkness beneath the waves. Lives seemingly as brief as simply a lung full of oxygen. Lives spent with no true horizon, no true hope, no true joy ever in sight. Baptism calls us to a different way of life. Yes, it's like being born again. Yes, it's like breaking the water's surface and breathing freely at last. Yes, it's like being newly washed and given a second or a third or a hundredth chance to get it right. But it's even more profound than that. As the Apostle Paul put it best, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. We swim our lives away underwater, fearing that moment when our breath will finally fail us and death will claim us at last. And as we swim in that way, sometimes we're swimming fast and anxious. Sometimes we're swimming slow and lost and going in circles, and we take our pulse, And we focus on how we're doing. And we push others away who might be a threat to us or our underwater plans. But even as we exert so much energy fearing death, fearing the reality that's all around us, the message comes to us that Christ has already experienced this for us, experienced and overcome it. He suffered and died, yes, but then by being raised from the dead, death no longer has dominion over him or over us. For by grace we are baptized into his death and his resurrection. He broke the water's surface once and for all, bursting forth on Easter, gasping for air, shaking off the watery grave, and all of creation rejoiced. And we rejoice, because for all of the deaths we endure, for all the necessary and unnecessary tragedies that come to us, for all the losses and the fears and the failings, the limited visions and the doubting spirits, all of those are pushed aside. And we breathe deeply again. We fill our lungs and we step away from our soggy, raggedy old lives. And we live and breathe as if for the first time, dead to addiction, dead to fear and anxiety and anger, because they have no lasting hold on us, no lasting reality around us anymore. We're dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. Philoxenos warned that we work hard at believing we're self-sufficient, thinking we have no needs we cannot fill immediately by ourselves, just like those perfect yet limited unborn children in watery wombs. Anne Lamott then shares with joy about breaking the water's surface, of being born and bursting once more where we can fill our lungs with the air of God's grace and remember the Easter promise that is also a promise for us. In baptism, we are buried with Christ so that we might be raised with Christ. We are dead to sin and made fully alive to God. And as we emerge up through those baptism waters, and as we break the surface, the voice says to us, "This is my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased." So take a deep breath. And look around. Through Christ, with Christ, everything is new. Everything is changed. It's great to be alive. Amen.
God of life, by your grace and through the waters of our baptism, we are reminded of how desperately we need you and of how much you love us. We trust in your mercy, in your ability to heal and restore us and your world, and in your faithful love. So hear us as we pray today for your good world, broken by sin and afflicted by suffering. We ask that you free your people from habits which cause harm to your planet, to your people, to your creation. Where violence addresses conflict, bring your peace and hope and reconciliation. Where addiction manipulates the bodies and minds of your people, we pray for healing and courage and strength. Where human overindulgence injures the people, plants, and animals of your creation, bring self-control, care, and a commitment to honor the life around us. And where fear and greed compel behavior that separates, alienates, and oppresses, we ask that you build bridges of compassion and wholeness and of love. God, we pray for those who suffer today, asking for your healing, your strength, and your hope, to be with all who are sick, all who have suffered abuse, all who have been victimized, all who are hungry, thirsty, naked, imprisoned, homeless, or alone. You are the God of new life, and so we pray that where there is darkness, your light will bring new life and peace. We also ask that you comfort all who grieve today. Inspire your people to hope, where those have faced loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of an opportunity, or loss of hope. May the power of your resurrection bring wholeness, bring new life to your creation. Guide us and guide all of your children to turn to you, to embrace the love that you offer, and to be inspired to care for your creation. Help us to accept the promises that you have made to us in our baptism, in which you claimed us as your own. May we live into the identity that you have carved out for us, engaging in the work of your kingdom, as did your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We lift before you these prayers, and the prayers which remain on our hearts, in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.